Now we can turn the Hebrews once more, chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Just a short passage beginning at verse 23. Hebrews 11, verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child. I think Mr. Darby Winter said a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's By faith, he was so eager, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover, and he strengthened his blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. I would like Hebrews 11, maybe down in verse 23. Now one of the features, beloved, that I think has come clearly before us this week in our Bible readings is the bringing in of that which is heavenly, spiritual, and eternal. You may think I'm repeating this a lot, but it is the bearing of this epistle to Hebrews. People who had known what it was to serve God with earthly material things. Things that were not figures of the truth. You and I, in the mercy of God, have been brought to light in a day when the true things, not the figures, are now available for us, as we've seen so much this week, in the person of our Lord, Jesus Christ. I think I'm safe in saying that all of us who have been at these readings this week have rather enjoyed the thought of the grandeur and the greatness of all that we have been brought into as the fruit of what our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, coming into manhood, dying upon the cross, rising again, going to heaven, sending down the Spirit, has brought us into this wonderful circle, a circle indeed of everlasting favor under the hand of God. And it raises the question, at least it does with me tonight, as we come to the end of our readings for the moment, just what effect does these things going to have upon us? I ask you at the very start of this little word, I don't know how long I'll be able to go on with it, but I ask you just at the very beginning, every one of you young people, as well as the elders, is it loosening your hold of this poor, evil, perishing world that's rapidly going on to the judgment of God? If you have enjoyed, as I'm sure most of us have enjoyed, the atmosphere of this wonderful circle, I ask you, my dear friend, why not live there as much as ever you can, apart from this evil world from which we are going? That primarily is what is on one's mind in reading these few verses to you tonight. You see, in writing to these people, the Hebrews, he gives a list here of 14 or 15 people, as well as many abstract references, to men that were noted in the history of Israel. The chapter starts with Abel, of course, before the nation became a wife. And he helped to show them that if anything of any worth was ever affected in Old Testament days, it was affected on the principle of faith. Now you have faith, and I have faith, if we're in the divine circle at all, and only our faith be married, and living in relation to him, and ever give us the blessing that is ours available for us today, as it did the Old Testament saints of God. Let me give you a note I picked up many years ago from someone else for a moment. That from verse 1 down to verse 7, someone has suggested of that the work of faith. Then from verse 8 down to verse 22, the witness of faith. Then from verse 23, where we began tonight, down to about verse 30, I think it is, the book of faith, and then 31, I should have said, and then from verse 32, the warfare of faith, all that has been effective in this world of God. There's a seat down here, don't you? And I suppose it's a simple, have you a Bible? There's one here that you like it, Hebrews 11. The one here is saying what we're speaking about. Hebrews 11. Just to point out as we were about to do, if only faith was the power that brought to light those things with these people, both for God's glory and their blessing, well, surely, beloved, it's the only thing that's going to bring us into this realm of blessing. Indeed, as we said already, did we not begin there? Repentance toward God, faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ, the very beginning of that Christian pathway, it was faith that brought us into it. And we can be sure of this, beloved, in moving along that path as those that belong to God, the faith which we understand is confidence in God is going to be constantly needed for us if we are going to affect anything worth talking about as these people did in the record of Holy Scriptures. Perhaps again, though I'm spending a long time on the introduction, another thing that we have noted in this chapter is that what faith enables us to do, it enables us to believe the incredible. Just let these things sink a little. I remember the first time I heard them, how appreciated I was of them, who I got them from, I can't tell you. That faith enables us to believe the incredible. That just in the gospel, a man that died on the cross nearly 2,000 years ago, that because of what that man done, it's put me right with God forever. Yes, thank God it has. We see it first of all with Noah. When he was told that flood was coming, he simply believed God, and they'd never seen rain on earth, so far as we know. Heavens have opened and poured on rain. Incredible! Yes, but he believed it, and of course it happened, and he was saved in that little ark. And you believe something naturally incredible, but thank God, very understandable the faith, isn't it, that we trusted the Lord Jesus Christ the Savior, and we stand right with God. With Abraham, another point that's been raised in this chapter, it enabled him to perform the impossible. So it is with you and me, beloved, to think that other I can live in this hostile world, and of what people make of them and all they're doing with their, all their games and all their gaiety and all that's around them every hand, and yet there's no effect upon me at all. Why, impossible? No, thank God it's not impossible. And we can live in the midst of it all without ever giving an ear to it forever and move right through it, credibly, for the pleasure of God himself. And the third one, which is primarily before my mind tonight, it enables us to see the otherwise invisible. That's Moses at whom we read. He endured as seeing him who is invisible. May I pause again, beloved, as I said, it was a very simple, practical word in my mind tonight. How much of these divine things do you see? There's a distinction between what we hear and what we see. I'm afraid I've heard a lot more in my life in the meetings than ever I could see, but I thank God for what I can see. And faith in these divine things as we hear them, why they become light in our souls. God is the Lord that has given us light in Old Testament Scripture, I grant you. God is the Lord that has given us light. And if we receive these divine things as enlightenment in our souls, we can see the otherwise invisible. Now that's what Mark Moses has been coming down to it. One who through faith endured, persevered, are seeing him who is invisible. So coming down to these verses where we began in verse 23, we begin with the birth of this young man. I'm saying young, of course, at the moment. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, or a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Here I pause again, I wonder what sort of a Scotland might be you have, so far as the Christian front wear is concerned. Can you go back to a godly mother or a godly father whose sisters did pray for you that they might live in this world for the pleasure of God? I had a mother like that. I wonder if you had a son like that. Or do you say the right, no, unfortunately, I never had a son like that, and I would agree with you if you said, unfortunately, I would agree with you. But he was a man. Try to be, boy. He ought to be an Amram, his mother and father, when this child was born. So, and just come on, let's sit down here. With his mother and father, Amram and Jochebed, when he was born, in spite of what the king of Egypt said, Pharaoh, and at the risk of their own lives, the thought would wake us to obey God more than men. They didn't say that, no, but it's a scripture I'm quoting, to obey God rather than men. And at the risk of them being put to death, and probably eventually this bed being destroyed, they in simple faith put them, as it were, in the hands of God. They put them in the waters of the river, you remember. And mark you, water is still one of the few material things in Christianity. Bread, and a cup, and water, the three material things in Christianity. And we've often looked at Moses like that as typical of baptism, though I'm not going to speak on baptism tonight, but I'm perfectly sure that was a picture of it. They submitted him as it were to the waters of death, and death was certainly upon him. And they received him back, as it were, from the hand of God. Wonderful, if we had time, but time doesn't permit to go to those interesting events when Pharaoh's daughter took pity on this child. Why should she? I think the most of us, why should she? My dear friend, we don't need to look further for the answer, do we? I'm perfectly certain God put it into our heart. To pick up this babe and look after this babe on his account. If you care to trace it out, you're often going to find in the Bible, we're going to speak a bit about Moses just now. Men, women, that in this world, God gave the world the privilege of training them for the work he had in view for them, particularly the great apostle Paul. And the work that was in view for him, sitting at the feet of Gamaliel, learning the law as it were from back to front, only to find the weakness of it, and when at last called out by God, just the men to carry the gospel to the Gentiles, and what he learned in those Jewish schools. Think of your upbringing. Happened to be like this, but he certainly wasn't in the house of a princess, I can tell you. But his was. And with all that was there raised up in that house, we can't be doubt that God was allowing that woman to raise up this man for his glory, little of course, though she knew the first thing about it, but there it was. That brings us just to another thought for a moment that we've heard about Moses picking up somewhere. I don't think it was Mr. McGrone that said this. He lived to be 120 years old, and his life was broken into three sections of 40 years. The first 40 years, as he said, he was learning to be something, yes, he became great, that's what this word says. 40 years, learning to become something. Then at the backside of the desert, another 40 years, learning to be nothing. And then when he got to the end of that period, in the third 40 years in the wilderness, he learned that God was everything. You know, my dear friend, these are things we can so easily say. But believe me, I'm sure that if you or I am ever going to do anything for God, these things will have to mark us. May not be 40 years in the script, mark you. But I'm sorry for a man that has not learned his weakness and incapability in the presence of God himself. This great man learned all the wisdom of the Egyptians. And at the finish, you remember when God wanted to send him, he so complained that God had to say to him, who made man's mouth? You from God himself as much as it, do you think I can't use your causes, that it's yours where the man of God? And I'm sure God could not use them before that. He got right to the end of himself, and then God took him up and gave that man that wonderful privilege of leading his people out from Egypt and into that land of Canaan. Yes, shall I say them again? 40 years learning to be something. 40 years learning to be nothing. 40 years learning that God was everything in their passage from Egypt to Canaan with these people. So the first thing we read about them then in this pathway of faith was the start that this young man had, the grand start. Yes, but we pass from the parents in the next verse, in verse 24. You know, we cannot live on the faith of our parents, however great they must be. We must find our own feet, as it were, in the things of God. I cannot answer for you, nor can your parents answer for you. It's a question of you taking your own measure in the things of God and moving here under His care, His protection, if ever you're going to do anything worth doing in this world for the pleasure of God. And hence we come, there's about six things I can say about him, and this is the first one in verse 24. By faith Moses, when he was coming heirs, or as the new translation renders it, became great, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now see, my dear friend, I don't know your prime history. Very few in this year I can say a word about it, so don't think I'm here before sounding anybody. But I want to ask you, since you trusted the Lord as your Savior, what have you given up in this world? Think it over now. Just what have you surrendered in this world? You cannot hope publicly for the pleasure of God. Some of us were in high stations, I'm saying some of us, not me, I assure you. But some have been, and the world with all its glory staring them in the face, and they realize if I'm going to say, God, I'll have to give that up. Or I'll have to give that up. The few little things that we gave up was gambling and smoking and that sort of thing was about what we gave up, the very things of course you'd expect. Yes, but we've met men with grand prospects in this world who told me themselves, I realized if I were gone there much longer, I'd not be able to serve God in this world and the biblical. Just like Moses. He came to that decision himself. He wasn't forced to it. He began with a refusal so far as this world and all its glory was concerned. Oh, let me urge any of young people, if you're holding on to some relationship, some society, something in this world that you know is hindering you in the things of God, don't be afraid, my dear friend, to give them up. You'll find God is something infinitely better for you if you do, but the decision lies in your hands. He refused, it wasn't a God right now. He came to a judgment of his position, judged the whole situation, and he left it. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. The old name that he had, the old glory that he had, he came to a judgment about the thing. You may tell me, yes, he ran away from Egypt, but my dear friend, I'm certain in reading his history that he'd come to a judgment about it before he sold that Egyptian. That wasn't just done on the spur of the moment. I believe exercise had been working in that man's heart. And it was through this exercise when he saw that Egyptian smiting an Israelite, he raised his hand against that Egyptian, he took sides with the people of God against the world. It wasn't just a momentary decision, I feel perfectly sure that judgment was in his heart, but then God allowed him to express that judgment, you see, when he saw that Egyptian, and out of Egypt he went. It was a better day in his life than when he left Egypt, so far as his history was concerned, and the working and the framework of God in his soul, forming this servant for the work that he had in view. Again, I ask you, I hope nobody had gone at the end of the meeting and said, it's only you. I want to ask you, my dear friend, have you given God the opportunity to frame you in relation to something of his service? Have you given up this thing or that thing, whatever it may be, and now in exercise before God, waiting upon him, what wilt thou have me to do? You know the words of the Apostle Paul? Who art thou, Lord? Number one, what wilt thou have me to do? From the very outset, you see, laying himself as it were upon the altar, Romans 12, in order that God might use him for his service in this world. Come, my dear friend, have you reached that decision yet? I quoted Romans 12, yield your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. acceptable and perfect will of God. And need I say, my dear friend, it's well worth proving. You try it. If you haven't tried it yet, you try it. And I'm sure you'll tell me if I make those again, yes, I've got a prophet, well worth while. That's the first thing then said about him, refusal. He came to a judgment, and as the way he was, and the links that he had, and the links that really were his, as belonging to the children of God, disguised as an Egyptian, he probably was. And the moment came when he did declare himself, then began his history as it were with God. Though for 40 years, as far as we know, God never said a word to him at all. But that was the first mark. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And of course, along with that refusal, choosing. Yes, that's the second thing that I had in mind, choosing. Then I see again, he wasn't forcing to win it. I know he might get then. He wasn't forcing it to eat enough, and he wasn't forced to ally himself with the children of God, but he did, though. Choosing fire, to suffer affliction with the people of God, and to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. He came to a wise judgment about the thing. The probability was he could sat on the throne of Egypt had he stayed where he was. Yes, but he saw the good of the end of Egypt and the throne of Egypt. All the grandeur and the glory of Egypt, you know, was coming under the judgment of God. You know that as well as I don't know, as far as everything in this world is concerned. Some of us were speaking yesterday about the gospel tract. When a man who should have come there and made some money in this world had died. And a friend came and said, did you hear what he left? Oh, yes, he said everything. Didn't expect an answer like that, but of course it was going to be true. My friend, there's nothing you take on in this world and going for, you'll never take it to heaven. Come to a judgment about it. If it's hindering you going on the service of God, the sooner you give it up, the better. And if you think you'll regret it, you won't, you know. Once you take a step like this, you'll never regret stepping out of something, a hindrance to you, in order that with the people of God you might go on the service, whatever the affliction may be, whatever the rejection may be, as far as this one's concerned, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin or evil, the temporary pleasures of this world. I've lived long enough to hear a man say, so-and-so, my money's laughing at me today. I was a stranger in that district, but found out that as a young man, he didn't make promise in the service of God. But business opened out for him, and he stepped into this thing and that thing and the other thing. And the best part of his life was, I think he was about 80 when he picked up the phone. He said, my money's laughing at me. And in 3 weeks he was out of the world altogether. And all the other tuners he might have had, and there wasn't a very piece of that money worth taking to heaven. He couldn't take it to heaven. I tell you these things, my dear friend, I see so many young people here. I know there's openings in this world and prospects of things lying ahead for you. But see, if they're going to hinder you in the service of God, you can well follow their bad day. The type that Moses has given us here, the example, that's the word I wanted. Leave the thing alone. The day will come when you'll thank God that then you're happy to give it up if you go steadfastly on his service in this world. Well, that was the step he took, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God and to enjoy the temporary pleasure of sin. The third thing sticking out in it, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, he came to a judgment, an estimation. It says here, of course, the reproach of Christ is put there because the Messiah was attached to that company. How much more true it is for us today, the reproach of the Christ. And yet, whatever I may suffer and reproach for him, see what it says about him again. And choosing rather to suffer the affliction, or rather, verse 26, esteeming the reproach of the Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, something of infinitely more value. Something of eternal value, in contrast to the sinful, paltry things that are in this world, dragging men's souls down onto perdition. A true estimation he gave of that which was right and that which was enduring, esteeming the reproach of the Christ, greater riches and the treasures in Egypt. Then what did he get from it? Well, I'll look at that next year, I'm talking out of respect under the recompense of the reward. Some of us again were talking a little bit during the interim of rewards. I said, I think I must have started some of the sins in the dark here. When a brother says, we don't send the Lord for a reward, I said, excuse me, my dear brother, I'm certainly serving the Lord for a reward. I make no apology for that. No, my dear friend, I'm looking for a reward in the world to come. And the Lord will offer that to you tonight, if only you're wise enough to listen to it. Loss again? Well, loss again will not come much in that day, will it? When the reward that's at the end, as Moses did, not only what he suffered at the moment, in that respect, under the recompense of the reward. I wonder what sort of a place you will have in the world to come. Do you ever pause to ask yourself? If you want me to prove these things, I can easily do it. Let me get you just one verse from the Lord's own lips himself. The men with the pound, you remember, given a pound. Tell them I'm each given a pound. One of them gave. Hard worker, wasn't it? €3. Another one gave five. €5. The first one said, look, I was afraid to serve you, Lord, I was afraid of you. Well, his pound was taken from him, and I had a pound of a city at the end. Come, my dear friend, do you want to land there at the hand of the Lord at the end when you leave this world? Do you want to be left with nothing at all to carry on this world? Oh, my dear friend, you will make up your mind you're not going on the road like that. Make up your mind you are going to get something you can take with you. Don't be afraid of working for a reward. I can quote you quite many more as you know, many of you in this meeting tonight. Claim for a reward, my dear friend. God's offering it, or the Lord is offering it to you. And if you come to a right judgment about things in this poor, faulty world, compared with those glorious things, 1,000 years reign with Christ in the world to come, I don't know if we carry them into eternity, but we certainly have them in the world to come. And they are offered to us tonight for service of the Lord in this world. Go on, my dear friend, as the Apostle Paul just comes to mind in another place, says, go on, that he may obtain. There's another one. He had respected on the recompense of the reward. But then again, to another step, though we've almost overwritten this one. My dear, he was to Egypt. It isn't only that he came to a judgment about the higher up in this choice that he made. The time came, of course, when he left it all together. By day, he was to Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. For he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Don't be alarmed that people wonder what you're striving at, or what you've got in mind, or where you're going, or what's governing you, or what's marking you, what's the matter with you, and all this sort of thing. Such is the judgment of this world, that where faith has one's eye on the goal, and on that which the Lord has to offer for any service for himself in this world, we can follow him as it were he forsook Egypt. He come to a judgment about it, as we say long since. But the time came when he left it all together, stepped out of it. And what was the good of going on the covenant country he well knew was rather there, coming on them, the judgment of God. No, he forsook it, and not fearing the wrath of the king, and then he endured as seeing him, persevering, I think Mr. Darby translates this word, persevering as seeing him, who is invisible. Don't just be looking at circumstances in the world, we'll very soon be led astray. Do you know why? Because the devil will soon give you certain senses to trust him, and you're foolish enough to do that. Make no mistake about that. He soon presents some circumstances to you that naturally is certainly worth having. Have you been a man of faith in contrast with the circle of faith? Service of the Lord, heaven at the end, a reward in the world to come, and what's offered to me today in this poor, evil world, rapidly coming under the judgment of God. And I think, like Moses, you too will come to the same decision. Persevere, keep going on, as seeing him who is invisible. Don't worry, dear friend, if you can't see around the corner for the next day. Faith doesn't do that, you know, but just go on with God for a moment. A few of us old friends here have just been talking today, and many, many years ago, we never ever thought we'd still be in the world today, much less anything else. I never ever thought we'd be in a Bible reading like we've had today in the enjoyment of these divine things. No, but our faith was right and we went on step by step. And I think I can say for my friends who spoke to me today, looking back nearly 50 years on our pathway, there's not one of them got a single regret for anything we left to get on in the Lord's service in this world. And you won't, my dear friend, but not you. You don't do these things in lectures, you know. You can only do them in experience. It's here and it's true. And we can only urge you tonight like this man. You'll take a stand. Never be afraid of what you're losing in this world. It's all to go one of these days. You'll make up something in the service of the Lord that served you so well, as we've heard in our Bible readings this week. Now another one that we don't often speak about is in this next verse. I wondered many times why that was put there. It wasn't set a little higher up. It says, through faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest they be destroyed, lest they even destroy the firstborn, should touch them. We don't. I'm sorry, I put some money. We know, don't we, that verse 28 should really fit in with between 26 and 27, when he was in Egypt. But I'm going to give it an application tonight that struck me just when reading this down with this meeting of you. Even this man, you see, that was not by these things. As we said, let me quote them again. By your people, by coming to a choice, by your right estimation, by forsaking Egypt, by persevering in the pathway of faith. This was the man now that we read about that God used to teach the children of Israel how to escape the judgment of God. It says he kept the Passover, not them. It's put down to his faith. But then God was entrusting his people in the hands of this man, a vessel fitted for that trust, a vessel I'm perfectly sure now the Lord could trust. And it was left to him to instruct these Israelites about the keeping of the Passover and the sprinkling of blood. And what I'm going to give an application of tonight is this, my dear friend. If you go on this pathway of faith and move on under the blessing of God, the endurance in that pathway, the seeing these invisible things, moving on toward that goal, I believe the one thing about another you'll be thankful for when you get to heaven is that the Lord used you to bring somebody else from under the judgment of God. Not only that you're there yourself, in the Lord's hands you've been unable to point out, as it were, to someone else that the judgment of God is about to fall upon them, and maybe the means in God's hand of rescuing them from that judgment that is about to come. You notice what it said, by faith he kept the Passover. They didn't know I'm sure what it was about. They simply did what Moses told them. But the people who did do what Moses told them escaped the judgment of God on their household. Again, I want to ask you, my dear friend, do you know anybody else in this world that you've been the means of bringing them under the judgment of God and sending them on the heavenly pathway? There's nothing more than an experience in this world than the next somebody that's ever been converted from you. Of course, not that we've converted them, no, no, we don't make that mistake about it. But to think the Lord has graciously used one to present the gospel to somebody else that needed it just as much as I did when I first heard it. And being the means of the Lord's hand of bringing someone else among them the judgment of God. Oh, my dear friend, I'm not going to say young, old as well as young, make this an aim in life as we are going through too. Matthew, I cannot hope to save other folks out of this world and from the judgment of God if I'm going on with it myself. If I'm going on with this world in one hand and seeking to serve the Lord in the other, then you spend standing up here tomorrow night and preaching the gospel in the hope that someone will be converted. No, my dear friend, it just doesn't work at all. But if there is earnestness and desire in our hearts, in relation to God, and in the path along which we are going, we become suitable vessels that the Lord can put his hand upon us, yours is his channel of blessing. And how nice it will be when we get before the judgment seat of Christ to find someone else there in heaven, and they got dead from my little efforts in preaching the gospel. Oh, my friend, it's worth going in for. As Moses proved it was worth going in for, and just one closing word, I didn't think I lasted long with this, just one closing word. You remember the last time we see what is in the Bible? It's on the Mount of Transfiguration in the Gospels, in the three Gospels. Moses and Elias in the Mount of Glory with our Lord. There he was, that glorious man, in that glory. And they were allowed, just those three disciples, to see Moses and Elias and the Lord. I should have put the Lord first, I suppose, all together in that cloud of glory. Oh, then, my dear friend, keep your eye upon the goal. Whatever the attractions of this world may be, if it is the world, it's well worth parting with and going on with what you will not obey the call of God in your soul. You have a gift. How do you know? Because Scripture tells me. That's how I know. You have a gift. For unto every one of us is given grace, according to the measure of the gift of the Christ. Oh, you see, I didn't know I had a gift. Then, my dear friend, you're admitting to me that you never attempted to use it. For a man's gift made of room for himself. You have a gift, my dear Christian friend. If you belong to the Lord, you have a gift that he's given you to serve in this world. Don't think that getting up like I have tonight and giving a lecture like this is the only gift. It's a big mistake to think of things like that, you know. Or some outstanding gospel preacher. No, my dear friend, we don't need gift for these things. You settle it in your heart, you will gift as much as ever I have. It may not be to your mind. You're not somebody else's job, but it's taken to your job in service for the Lord in this world. And if you want a place, as we said, a greater place in that glory, when before the judgment seat of Christ, to learn you've been the means of leading someone else into the blessing of God, my friend, it's well worth parting with this horrible evil world of thankful we've been to get out of it, and in this wonderful service in this divine circle. In the enjoyment of that again we stay, which is heavenly, spiritual, and largely eternal, building up treasure, as it were, treasure for heaven itself, how thankful at the end of the path you will be. Indeed, my dear friends, before you get to the end of the Lord, need to hear many more years, as you have been able, and the gift the Lord has given you, with sincere desire, to have done a little work for the Lord in this world. And answer to that great work that he's done for you to get you into the next world, and that when you're there, with something to your credit before the judgment seat of Christ, to be able to hear from his lips, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Go in then, my dear friend, for this pathway, and may the Lord bless you all in your spirit. Now, can we sing number 166? Lord, thou hast drawn us after thee. Now let us run and never tire. Thy presence shall overcome with thee. Thyself overhaul our soul desire. Our present Saviour, why not fear? For sin can come if thou art near.